forget about trying to make everybody laugh. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I think it's a very idealistic approach to be like, I want to be so funny, everybody thinks I'm funny. That's hard.
Yeah.
If you say to yourself, you know, I am a chef and I want to do jokes about cooking, you're going to stand out a lot more.
Right.
Than you just being a generic, I write jokes about anything. Right.
Yeah.
So if you're like the chef of comedy, people that are in that world and that love food, they're going to go see you.
Yeah.
Just because you call yourself the chef of comedy. It's like, well, I never really seen any of his jokes. Yeah, but it's the chef of comedy.
Yeah.
And then you go up there with your little chef hat and you just start, you know, saying your little jokes and people just love it because it's the niche. And you look at it online, you look at it on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. People want jokes about a particular theme or a topic. So that's what's great about comedy now, that you don't have to be like, I got to be the best. Instead, it's like, I got to be the best person that comes up with a theme.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check. Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
But wait a minute. So you started doing jokes, going stand-up, doing it yourself until you prove that you can make something out of it and get attention from people, getting them a newsletter, start getting them pumped into what's coming, or like, what was that? Like, did you start
the transition? You mean
from
comedy to marketing and business? That's a rough one too. So one thing I would like to share in your podcast is, you know, how funny it is that artists were always thought to be against business.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
Balancing artistic endeavor and, you know, savviness in business, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Right. But those that know how to combine the two worlds of both your whatever you're really good at artistically and you learning business and how people work, when you bring those two together, they help each other out. It's almost like you're mixing oil and vinegar together up until the point where, you know, you just alchemize a completely different liquid. It's like, whoa. Me being good at business makes me a better artist, and me being an artist makes me better at business.
Yeah.
You start getting creative with the way you do business. You start, you know, writing your copy in a funny way in this case, or like if you're a painter, if you design like an advertisement to get people to come out to your gallery, you design it the way you want it rather than just hoping for the best and hiring someone else. There's so many components when you mix business and art together. I was talking to a friend of mine. He wants to start a podcast called the Art of Success to talk about this particular thing. And that's such a cool niche, because now that we have all these tools that can streamline your creativity, you're going to be seeing a lot more artistic entrepreneurs out there.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as rare.
Yeah.
It's going to be more fluid.
Now, do you know if any other places around the US have the same concept that you have?
I don't know. I hope so.
Because honestly, I used to live in Toronto. I used to live in Detroit. I used to live in many places, and I never really saw someone that would give almost every single day in a separate bar, so separate environment, a show with different comedians. And I'm a comedian lover, even more this past 2 years, dude. Fucking exercises your cheek, fucking makes you flex your cheeks. That's what I heard. That's what I heard, dude.
Well, the more you smile, the more dopamine shoots in your brain.
Exactly. So, so I was like, yo, I'm going to go into comedy full on, like this year, like last year, because I want to fucking just laugh, you know? I love it. Yeah, apart from just doing YouTube, just going to go and meet comedians in person. But I never really found anyone anywhere in the US that actually had something so consistent like Miami Comedy, miamicomedy.com. So that's why I ask you if you had another competitor outside of your market that has absolutely nothing to do with Miami, that maybe gave you some ideas and things like that. But it seems like it came everything from like just trial and error.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this being a starving artist.
Yeah.
Which I lived, which was where my parents were really upset. It was like, how can you go from wearing a suit to being a starving artist? Why would you do this to yourself? Yeah. You had an apartment, you had a nice car, you gave it all away.
Yeah.
But the trial and error part, it's kind of it's part of the process.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to go through the motions of failing often, and then you get your own little secret sauce on how things operate. And then that experience, the systems of all the things that you've learned, is the real asset of your business.
Have you ever gone to a stand-up wearing a suit, kind of like being a banker type of
avatar? Me? Like I go up, I go to a show and just show
and
up
just
in
be
a
like,
suit.
Oh, I'm a banker. I'm going to tell jokes.
I've done comedy in a suit after my banking job.
Yeah.
Right. When I first was getting started, I would go to the open mics. I don't have time to go home because I would have to drive far away because there was no comedy in Miami. I would have to go to like Marco Island. I get off of work at 6 o'clock, the open mics at 9. Marco Island's a 3.5 hour drive. You show up 30 minutes late, you get on the list. And then, you know, you got 30 other comedians. So, you know, I'm going up in a suit like, oh, yeah, I work in a bank. I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder because I want to hang myself. Oh, and then everybody's bombing. And just like, what am I doing this?
But okay, so when you were full on stand up doing it by yourself, do you get inspired with other comedians? Any other comedians that kind of give you inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, comedians that, you know, the funny thing about comedy is that it's so different for everybody. Everyone's different. They have their own.
I bet Miami preference. Comedy is totally different than a, I don't know, white town comedy. I don't know.
For sure. Like redneck comedy and cultural comedy. Yeah, there's a difference. Well, what's great about comedy that's happening right now is it's going niche. Like it's really, really niched. Like that's one of the things that I coach some of the comedians that want to get into business is forget about trying to make everybody laugh. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I think it's a very idealistic approach to be like, I want to be so funny, everybody thinks I'm funny. That's hard.
Yeah.
If you say to yourself, you know, I am a chef and I want to do jokes about cooking, you're going to stand out a lot more than you just being a generic, I write jokes about anything, right? Yeah. So if you're like the chef of comedy, people that are in that world and that love food, they're going to go see you.
Yeah.
Just because you call yourself the chef of comedy. It's like, well, I never really seen any of his jokes. Yeah, but it's the chef of comedy.
Yeah.
And then you go up there with your little chef hat. And you just start, you know, saying your little jokes and people just love it because it's the niche. And you look at it online, you look at it on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. People want jokes about a particular theme or a topic. So that's what's great about comedy now, that you don't have to be like, I got to be the best. Instead, it's like, I got to be the best person that comes up with a theme for my comedy.
Yeah, I mean, going niche, it helps you also create like a very, like, even if it's a small group of raving fans, like people that really believe in kind of users of your product or service, whatever you do, your art, that are really, really supportive. And those people will ultimately matter the most because they're the ones that are going to be bringing you the money. They're the ones that are going to be talking good about you, giving you feedback, telling you exactly why they love you and why, you know, things like that. And then you can freeze that niche. That's something that when people start in business, they try to do everything and anything. And then ultimately doing everything and anything is kind of like the bottleneck that keeps them from growing and literally not niching down in one thing. Bro, it kills their business. Going in 1 year, 2 years, why am I not growing? It's because you haven't focused in something.
Yeah.
So I love that, man.
Yeah, you definitely have to. All business owners need to really consider innovation before getting into business.
So what's going to be your niche?
Well, I mean, I like getting into different things, but I just want to, I'm in the level of my business where I want to automate a really cool project and then move on to something else and do another cool project. And then just watching from afar as it works itself. You know, I'm hiring teams now. I have people doing different functions for Miami Comedy. You know, the venues I partner with are amazing, and they've helped me also, you know, promote the shows because they also profit from it. So everything kind of like it becomes its own culture, right? And so when that culture wants what you want, you can then start working on building up another culture or community.
Yeah.
And that's where we met, the networking events.
Yeah.
That's my next project. Well, I started in 2018, but I think networking is a big one in Miami. Authentic networking, not, hey, I'm rich, you're rich, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like the vibe I feel with some networkers. Yeah. I think forming a bond or a good conversation over drinks where everybody's like on the same page, I like that feeling. I think Miami needs more of it.
Is there going to be a niche bond conversation, like a niche meetup, like maybe do, comedy entrepreneurs? Or
I think the niche for the networker would be authenticity, where you feel like I can talk to anybody here. Manny's a good host. He'll introduce me to somebody, whether you're in business or you're dating or you're new in town. You know, if everybody just comes together just to meet people and there's no like awkwardness or, you know, you need someone to break the ice or someone to introduce you to somebody. You know, when I do the networkers, what I really like is, you know, when they start trickling in and then like one person comes in like, hey, what do you do? Oh yeah, that's cool. And then like the second person comes in, it's like, hey, this is the person. And then the third comes in. And then around the fourth or fifth is when you can like step back and then they're all talking amongst themselves. And then this magical thing happens where more and more people come in and then they start introducing themselves because they're there to meet people and they've been there meeting people. So now it becomes this little 2-hour cocktail party of people meeting people. And all you have to do is just get the first few to talk to each other. And then when people leave, they were like, hey, I met everybody here. This is amazing. Like, this is such a good feeling to know everybody's name and then leaving.
Yeah.
I think that's the most beneficial part for a networker. It's not like, oh, this is a real estate networker. You gotta be selling homes in Miami if you want to hang out. You know, you can do that. That's fine. But the niche that I want to do is that feeling of you can meet anybody and know their name.
Authenticity. Yeah. You said that. It's cool. It's a cool word. The authentic network. Authentic.
Yeah, there's no feeling of fakeness after it's over.
Okay.
And people are smart. They can feel it when it's like, oh, that was kind of fake. That was not real.
Yeah.
That was very transient, very surfacey.
Right? So, dude, man, how long you been in this business now? For like a few years now, 3 years?
The networking?
Yeah, and this is growing Miami Comedy.
So Miami Comedy got profitable in 2018. So that's when I would count it.
Yeah, yeah. What's profitable? Like
I can live off it finally.
Okay.
I'd be like, oh God, thank God, finally. Because like when I was a starving artist, I would make my little money here and there as a comedian, but it would never be enough to like, you know, pay off my costs.
So
I would have to do gigs. And so I got this app called I'd rather not even say. I got on this app and then they were like, send me gigs. Like you send in like an application and then they find you gigs.
Yeah.
Not gigs for like comedy, but rather like, hey, the cook quit today at this hotel. Go in there and help out whoever's there, clean the dishes.
Oh, like an odd jobs kind of thing?
Yeah. And I would like clean toilets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would help serve waters to charity events. And I found myself in so many random things, but it helped me live a cool phase where I was trying to make it.
And you can create stories because I don't know anything about like how would create a great copy for comedy or a script for comedy, like stand up. But I would guess that, bro, if you're not having stories or an imagination like going on and on, I don't know. I think that you would fucking have a hard time like coming up with new stuff. I don't know. You tell me. Like, how is that material as a comedian when you're like completely done with everything that you have done for like let's say the season? How do you come up with new stuff as a comedian?
Like, how do you come up with new stuff when you're niche down? That's the next level question.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was against being a Miami comedian. Like, I just want to be a comedian.
Yeah.
And I want to bring comedy to Miami. Right. That was my vision. But then as I was doing it, I was like, oh, I'm a Miami comedian. Like, people know me as a comedian in Miami. So I need to make Miami jokes. And then once I started doing that and drilling deep, 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 deep. And then as you continue drilling for material about one particular niche, this whole new world of jokes and perspectives start coming out of nowhere. And that feeling is awesome, where it's like nobody's talked about Miami real estate.
Do you get high a lot to just think about drugs?
I mean, I we talk about drugs, sure. Yeah, I've dabbled, but no, I don't need it for comedy. Yeah, are you a druggie? Is that how you get funny? I don't need drugs to be funny. I just need to have 1 or 2 hours of sitting down and thinking, what can I make fun of today?
Okay.
And
or who can I make fun
or
of?
Or who or whatever. or they, them, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can make fun of anything. The door is wide open when you're niched enough to the point where it's always available no matter what. And the fact that you're always opening that door and trying to find more is when you realize that there's so many topics that no one has been talking about. And so in Miami, I think about that all the time. It's like, what are some of the things that Miami hasn't been made fun of for?
Shit, I have so many things.
Exactly.
100%. So many. Like, a lot of shit happens here, man. Like I said, it's an attachment to South America. So anything that happens that is disorganized there, or like people are all over, they want to do whatever they want in our countries, they bring it here. And for like, you know, the white American or people that come from the north, be like, what the hell is this, right? It's kind of weird. But so you wanted to go into Miami niche, right? Become that comedian that lives in Miami, or the Miami comedy that just so happens to be in Miami, or like you wanted to get to be well known about talking Miami stuff. Is that where you're going?
Yeah. So once I started doing the podcast is when I realized that, you know, you have like, what, like 60,000 thoughts a day?
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So imagine if you live in Miami, a good percentage of those thoughts are going to be about your city.
Yeah.
Oh, these jaywalkers in Brickell.
Yeah.
Oh, these real estate agents with their cleavage out selling you homes. Oh, this Lamborghini on fire in the corner of the road. Like, there's so many things now once you kind of get this perspective going. And I kind of feel like it's unlimited to this point.
Yeah.
And so that's why I do the podcast, because that's how I write. If I go up and I just rant about Miami, if something's going to come out. So recently I did a 27-minute podcast live streaming about a real estate agent that did a music video. Shout out to him. I don't remember his name, but that guy is very creative for trying to stand out with a jingle about Brickell called That Brickell Life.
And did he show his ass crack?
No, he didn't actually go all out, but he was like, glorifying living in Brickell, which I know does not outshine the horrific prices of living in Brickell. I mean, you would know.
Bro, you did an amazing, I remember you did an amazing reel. I loved it. I shared it with my friends. But anyways, go ahead.
So in this 27-minute podcast, I was just riffing about like, how do real estate agents keep a straight face telling you that a home, a 1-1 bathroom is $1 million? Like, how do you look in the camera and be like, this 1-1 is $1 million? Come on out, find me if you want to get this home. It's like, where's the punchline here? You got to laugh at this point. How are you going to expect me to? And then from that joke, another joke came just yesterday where it was like, you know, some real estate agents, I feel like they should be motivational speakers because they really believe in you that you can pay these prices.
Yeah.
I believe that you can buy this house. I believe in you. Right. And so, it's just joke after joke after joke. And the way you get to it is just by, you got to have the balls to not be funny. That's number one. That's actually a big one. A lot of people worry. It's like, well, what happens if I say a joke and no one laughs? Fuck them. Did you laugh? Then it's great. That's the first one. And then the second thing is you got to be consistent and you got to make time for it. Because if you don't make time for writing or to be creative, how's the idea going to be generated in the first place?
Yeah.
I think like Stephen King, I think he, I read this book called The War on Art. Great okay. read if you're a creative person. Small book, easy. And I think he mentioned something like Stephen King writes like 20 pages a day, right? A day. And he admits that a lot of it is crap. It's shit. But you got to like leave that door open for that muse to kick in where it's like, oh my God, this is a fantastic idea. And then the more that door stays open where you're just bullshitting, the more opportunities you have of getting like those really good nuggets.
So, when you write comedy copy, how do you make sure that is to separate the good versus the cringe?
Comedy will always have cringe. Comedy will always have offensive. Comedy will always bring people that don't like you. That's the beauty of comedy. It's like a ballsy thing where it's like, da 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 da, boo boo, right? Or da 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 da, hey, all right, right? There's no one way to look at it, and there's no one way to react to it. But that's what it really is. One of the best forms of free speech.
Yeah,
and showing people who you really are as a person.
Yeah,
your faults, your vulnerabilities, your strengths. It's just an amalgamation through comedy and making people laugh and figuring out who you are and where your thoughts and ideas come from. Comedy is one of the best art forms that people don't know is an art.
Holy crap. I love it, man. But so, you know, Andrew Schulz, right?
Great comedian.
Great. But the guy knows how to do controversial jokes.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
And controversialism, or being controversial, it's always going to be great for growing a brand. Like, people are not going to follow a person that is like kind of balanced or neutral, be like between two thoughts, like, I kind of want to stay in the middle. Mm-hmm. They're going to support someone that goes all in into one thought, whether that's this way, left side or right side. Mm-hmm. So that's, I like, how often do you, when you write, you make it controversial enough?
Well, that's the comedy style. If you want to be a comedian that's controversial, you can go that route. For me, I want to be a comedian that, great question. Wow, I never really thought about this until now. I mean, I've been doing it, but I never really stated it. I think for me, I want to be a comedian that rebrands Miami. It helps the locals understand it a lot better. Kind of like a help accelerate the collective consciousness of Miami. I think that'd be cool. That'd be a cool position to be in. I really believe in my city, you know, in all its faults and glory. And I think making fun of our city, giving new perspectives to it, will kind of advance the way people think about it.